So the title for today's message is What Are You Looking At? And it strikes me that there's actually some visuals in the Bible reading that I'm about to share with you. It's from John 3:14-16. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Over to you.
No, it's just old age. Just hang on a minute. It's good to be here today. I really enjoy talking to you. How many times have I had people talking to me and they're looking at this stupid thing? How many times have I said to my grandchildren, why don't you get outside and play, or why don't you do something and not just look at these devices all the time? We spend, and this isn't just children, but adults, we spend more and more time on our computers, on our iPads, on our phones. We're simply at that age and in the world where everything is in our hands, and we can go around the world with these devices, and it is just so easy. And we can spend all our time messing around looking at stuff that's really not that important. And in the process, we see a whole heap of stuff that we don't need to know. We learn about a lot of things that can depress us or upset us or tempt us. And the end result is that we're no better off. Now today, Georgie read the Bible reading, but I want to give you just the background very quickly. Because in John chapter 3, that's when a bloke called Nicodemus came to Jesus. And we're told that he was a member of the Jewish council. That means he was one of the 70 most important people in Jerusalem. And so, but he came at night. He was a Pharisee, therefore he was one of the few privileged ones who could read and write and was well educated. But he came at night simply because the rest of his Pharisee friends had come to Jesus during the day already and had a go at him. And he didn't want to do that. But at the same time, I think he felt he was a bit different to the rest of the Pharisees, because he came and he said, Jesus, he called him rabbi, teacher. And then he said, you know, I've come to the conclusion that you're a good bloke. Oh, okay. When you hear it like that, can you imagine how Jesus was thinking then? Jesus, I hope you really feel that you're appreciated. I hope you really feel flattered. I think you're a good bloke. So it's not surprising then that Jesus actually replied in a crazy way. Rather than saying, thank you so much, I appreciate your support and encouragement, he said, you're as blind as a bat. You can't see a thing. You say, gee, I think God must be with you because you're a good bloke. No, no, no. You haven't even come close to understanding what you're looking at. And in actual fact, you can't even see what you're looking at without help. You can't do it on your own. And this is what human nature always says it can do. I'm fine. I can do it all by myself. I know the way things are. You don't need to tell me about that person. I know everything. You don't need to tell me whether that's right or wrong. I know. And so often we come across as arrogant and proudful because we simply think we know. And Jesus says, you don't know because you can't even see the truth without help. You can't do it unless somebody helps you. Because you can't do it by your human nature alone. That's simply impossible. And of course, Nicodemus, being a very wise and intelligent man, I think, becomes childish. Because he argues, he takes Jesus' words literally. And says, well, you expect an old man to go back into his mother and be born again? You've got to be kidding me. What are you talking about? I called you a rabbi. I think I'll take that back. So he tried to be a little smart. Ha, Jesus, you know, if I take you at your word, this is just crazy stuff. How on earth is this even possible? And so Jesus then responds, nobody can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. And that's when he makes that clear statement. It's the Spirit that gives birth to Spirit. If you're running simply on your own human nature and strength and knowledge and understanding, then you're always going to miss the mark. You need help for this. You need God's Spirit for this. You need to have somebody, which is the Spirit, help you to appreciate spiritual things because you can't see them otherwise. And so the question is, what are you looking at? I'm a great one on perspective, this idea that we see things from a certain angle and we think we know it all and we don't. You need the perspective of other people to get the whole truth. And even when you do that, you don't get it all. So when you're looking at something and you're passing judgment on something and you're making a decision about something, and you need to stop and think first, is that the whole truth? Is that really the way it is? Or do I need to look a bit deeper? Time and time again, I make decisions based on a snippet that I see on TV of a politician who says one sentence because that's all the news will allow. And on the basis of that, we say, what an idiot. Or, well, that makes sense. And we don't always recognise that what we look at, we need to see more deeply. Now, when I was preparing this, I was reminded of something that happened to me only a month ago. I was in a large shopping mall and I just came out of a shop and I stopped to think, now have I got everything? And while I was standing there, about 3 metres away, a young girl stopped. Now, this isn't her, but it's like her. And she was about 19 or 20, I reckon. And the first thing when I saw her was, my granddaughters are that age. And I would be really upset to see them like that. Now, I'm not having a go at tattoos. Don't worry, if you've got tattoos, the Lord loves you. But for me, the issue is, why would you want to cover your whole body? She was covered, apart from her face. Every other part of her body was covered, and I knew that because there was very little that was actually covered with clothing. And the rest was all really dark, full tats. And so my first thought was, grandchildren, I would not like that. And my second thought, and this is where old age comes in, and just went off and I thought, what on earth are those tats? And so I looked. And being old and stupid, that's staring. And she saw me. What are you looking at, old man? Pervert? Now, I've been called a lot of things in my life, but that's not one of them. And I'm at the age now where I didn't know whether to be insulted or praised. I didn't, you know, you just don't know. And the thing was that it was entirely my fault. And I was really embarrassed. But what are you looking at? Now, I mean, what are you really looking at? Because what I see these days is that we are not looking at the right things. We are not looking at those things that build us up, that encourage us, that remind us of God's grace. Do you know that today, there are, the last statistic I heard was about 3 years ago, that something like 60 to 70% of all boys from 10 to 15 have seen pornography. And I realise that today that's become mainstream. Pornography is no longer considered a problem because the media never mentions it, and yet it's still one of the largest, greatest underlying scourges in our society today. And when people look at that stuff, it changes their thinking. It changes their mentality. And so we can say, well, that's bad. Oh, yes, we're Christians. We would never do that. Well, I won't go there because I'm afraid that's not the way it is often. But the fact is that whatever we look at that is not helpful harms us. And when you look at stuff that is harmful, it challenges and then weakens our faith and always turns back in on us and says, you're not worthy. You're not worthy of God's grace. You're not worthy of his love. Look, there are countless examples of this in the scriptures as well. If I just give a few very quickly, Adam and Eve, what did they look at? The fruit. And saw that it was good to eat. They didn't look at God's command. You think of Cain and Abel. Cain looked at the fact that God accepted Abel's sacrifice but not his, because Abel was obeying God in the sacrifice he gave. Cain wasn't. And instead of looking at that and saying, I'll change, he killed his brother out of jealousy. You think Esau. He was hungry. And so for a bowl of stew, he gave up his birthright. Oh, think of the Israelites in the desert. Do you know that after 3 days of leaving Mount Sinai, they could have walked straight into the promised land? But they rebelled against God, so that he sent them off wandering for 40 years. And during that whole time, they blamed him and not them. And they kept on looking back to Egypt. Oh, look what we had back in Egypt. Well, we could eat leeks and onions. And I'm thinking, yeah, oh, you sure must have missed them. Far out. And so they were just always looking in the wrong direction. And then you think of King David. Wow, he looked in the wrong direction. He looked at a married woman. And that led him to commit adultery and then to commit murder. And then you've got Nicodemus who comes along as a Pharisee. And look, he's probably a really honest bloke who's trying to understand. But the bottom line is that he looked through his eyes of a Pharisee and he just saw a good bloke. Now, we never hear of Nicodemus again after these first verses until the death of Jesus, because Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea to take Jesus off the cross, to put the spices on his body and to place him in the tomb. So I'd like to think Nicodemus did become a Christian. So Jesus then just went on talking, and he came to this point of lifting up the snake in the desert. You know, this is an incredible story where there was simply the people had rebelled. God sent poisonous snakes. Now, can you imagine that? You're standing, there are snakes all around you, slithering everywhere, and they're biting you. And people are dropping dead all over the place. And God says, look, take the form of a snake, put it on a pole, and everybody who looks up at the snake in faith will be saved. I can imagine just doing that. Now, if he had sent spiders, that would have been a different matter entirely. I would have died of fright before I had a chance to look up. I have a thing about spiders, let me tell you. It goes back to outdoor dunnies. when I was a little kid. Let me tell you, I've been traumatised ever since. But this idea of having to look up at the very thing that's killing you is really senseless. It doesn't make any sense. Look up in faith to the very thing that's killing you, to the thing that is most abhorrent, that is frightening you out of your skin, that is really making you terrified, and you need to look at that. And Jesus said, that's what's going to happen to me. And then he goes on with these words, beautiful words. God loved the world this much. Dear people, when we look at the cross, I've got an anchor on mine, but has a cross in it. And we've turned the cross into a jewellery piece, but in fact it's an execution piece. Imagine if they would have electrocuted Jesus. Would we go around with an electric chair? Imagine if they hung him. Would we have a noose? I doubt it. The fact is, the cross is not a pretty thing. The cross is actually one of the most frightening things, because that's how much God knew he had to do to save us. That cross tells you and me how sinful we are. That cross tells you and me how hopeless we were until God sent his son Jesus. This cross, when we look at it, reminds us that the Son of God hung there naked. That he hung there for us. God thought that our sin was so great that nothing less than the horrendous, agonizing, torturous death of Jesus would be enough to save you and me, to appease his anger and to release his love to the world in his grace. I love verse 17, which is rarely added to verse 16. But it's really important. God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So, Paul makes a point about what you look at. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Look at such things. Look at the things that build you up. Look at the things that encourage your faith. And look, in this regard, dear friends, I don't know what you do, but I do know that in all the surveys that have been done in our church, the number of people who now claim that they do a daily devotion is down to about 2%. The number of people who claim to read their Bibles once a week is about 5%. Number of people who read their Bible once a month might be up to 10%. What are you looking at? How can we grow if we're not looking at the right stuff? How can we have our faith increased and strengthened and encouraged if we're not reading the scriptures that actually tell us of God's grace and mercy to us through Jesus? This is something, dear friends, we are simply drifting away from the very source that can help us to grow in our faith. Because as we read the scriptures, as we read devotions, it is the Spirit of God that opens our eyes and helps us to see what we see, to really see it, and to understand God's grace and mercy to us. This is a no-brainer, and yet this is what we're not doing. Now, me, you think I'm a parson, so I read the Bible about 5 hours a day. I pray about 15. And no, I have 7 devotions sent to me online every day. And I don't read all of them. But I read at least 3 or 4 of them. Because they always then say, here's a scripture passage, read that as well, which I do. 10 minutes. But God focuses you and helps you to think, to look at him, because then you can look at the day. You look at him and then you can look at the people that are annoying you and you can see them in a different light. To look at what is noble and right and trustworthy and all the rest of it. In other words, we're today. What are you looking at? Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. That is the message to take home today. And God's peace, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Jesus to life eternal. Amen.